All right, why don't you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and we are continuing our vision. Now, normally, if you're a regular attender here at Calvary Chapel Eagle, you know that I just love to teach through the Bible. You know, I just go through the scriptures, and this way you don't miss anything that matters to God. If I just did topicals, I would just do all my favorite topics over and over again, and you'd all leave, you know? So, but if we're going through the Word of God, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse, eventually you're covering all the things that matter to God in the frequency that it matters to God and in the priority. So that's what we do at Calvary Eagle. But what we're doing right now, because of the first of each year, what I like to do is kind of review, just take pause and review, what are the priorities of our church? What is my vision? Every now and then I have somebody ask me, as a pastor, what is your vision as a pastor? And I, you know, if you know me, I'm not one of these guys who always comes up with a new Ponzi scheme, you know? I just like to stick with what the Bible says, and if you follow the scriptures, it doesn't change every year. Our vision, and I have reduced it down to three words, upreach, inreach, outreach. And I've already covered the first two. Matter of fact, if you're doing the fill in the blanks for the growth groups, that's what we're reviewing right here, is upreach, inreach, outreach. We already talked about the importance of, number one priority is your connection with God. Number one is, we never want to move on without God. We never want to just be blessed, but we have all the blessings, but not the blesser, right? We've talked about that. By the way, if you missed any of these audios, spare me the time, and I'll spare the rest of you the time of me repeating myself. Go online. All the audios are free at our website, okay? Then inreach. A lot of people miss this. They don't realize the importance of body ministry, that we love one another in Jesus' name, that when you come to church, you're ministering to one another. The gifts of the Holy Spirit should be in motion as you're blessing one another. We covered that last week. Today, we're going to cover, I would say, probably a lot of people's least favorite topic, evangelism. It scares you. Right away, you go, I shouldn't have come today. Because most people would say, well, I'm not an evangelist. That's his job. But you all are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So again, in your review fill-in, it's upreach, inreach, outreach. And outreach is fulfilling the Great Commission. You know, you may have heard that before and didn't know what it meant, but the Great Commission is what the term we use to define the call of God on all Christians to go share the love of God with the world, with the lost, with the dying. And so I'm going to start with a verse that's very commonly used to explain the Great Commission. That's Matthew chapter 28. Did I tell you to turn there yet? Matthew chapter 28, we're going to start at verse 18. And Father, we ask that you would just direct our hearts, our attention, our words, our thoughts, and just speak to us, Lord, personally. And Lord, I know there are some truths that are just across the board we all need to know. And then, Lord, I know there's some things you want to speak personally to people in here today that you're calling to step up and do maybe a higher calling of service that, as Darren said earlier, it never felt like it would be a good fit, but it was. And it is your call on each of us. Help us not to miss your call. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And as I'm praying that, I'm remembering that even in the Shepherd of Sheep, as I did a little overview on the Great Commission, I happen to put in there that to many people, it becomes the great omission, that we don't share Jesus with somebody, with others. We'll bite our tongue, but it should not be so. Matthew 28, you've turned there by now, hopefully. And in verse 18, as Jesus is getting ready to go up into heaven to be with the Father, he's giving the last words, you know? I mean, if you're about to leave home for a while and someone's watching your house, or you're going to leave your kids home for a while, God forbid, help us, Lord. You want to give them your last words. Important. Now remember to do this. And Jesus says, it came to him and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. By the way, don't miss that. He's speaking with authority, what he's about to say here. He's speaking with the authority of the Father. And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let me just say, to be fair, this is Jesus' command to his apostles. Yes, the 12 apostles, but it's also the Great Commission for the church as a whole. And if you've been following us with the upreach, inreach feel, we're all a team. We're all together. You're all called to ministry. I've already gone over that. I mean, I'll probably continue as we go on through the book of Acts when we're finished here. We're all in ministry. And as ministry-minded people, which is one of our goals for the Inward, we should be ministry-minded people, you should always just be looking for opportunities of how can I be a part of this. And so one of the first things I want to point out to you, though, and this is in your fill-in, is that it's not just getting decisions, but making disciples. You know, I've been involved in evangelism for many years, and I've been a lot of crusades and events where they're happy just to get people to come forward, say a prayer, fill out a response card, and we got them. We got decisions. And you know, wave the cards. We had 100 decisions for Christ last week. That's exciting. But I want to know in a month, in 2 months, in a year, where are those folks? Are you making disciples or are you getting decisions? So one of the ways you make disciples is you teach the Word of God. And I want you to notice in the verse I had just put up there, I did a second slide if you didn't catch that, Michael, with emphasizing the teaching. There you go, you got it. One of the ways you make disciples is teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. And you know, people miss this. They just think, say the sinner's prayer, share the gospel, Jesus died on the cross, rose again, blah, 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 say this prayer, and you're saved. But you know what? Teaching them to what? Observe. Some of you, in your newer translations, it just says it like it is, to obey. You know, part of the Great Commission is to get people, not just to know the gospel, but to get people to surrender their lives to God and to be obedient to the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think it's a fallacy and a shame when people said, oh yeah, I went to the altar and I said a prayer. And there's no evidence in their life of them being a Christian. And so one of the goals, and it is the final goal, the upreach, inreach, outreach, is as we reach out to people and bring them into the church, we want quality work of God to be done in their heart. I don't say we. God wants it. He wants to see people become disciples, and that they're learning to obey the Lord in all things. That's what that teaching them to observe all things means. Okay, that's the Great Commission, not just getting decisions, but making disciples. So let me give you one more on the importance of teaching the Word, because I've seen a lot of Christians that are about this deep, you know, they're a mile wide and they're about an inch deep theologically or spiritually, and we want the Lord to grow us so that we're a little deeper than that. And the way it should show is that your life, the decisions you make in your life, especially those life decisions, are based upon, I know God's Word says this, therefore I'm going to live like this. You don't just make decisions emotionally, or because you're frustrated, or because you're angry. You want to be a man or woman of God who studies the Word of God, and you know what the Bible says, and you're staying on course because that's what the Bible says, not because which way the wind's blowing, okay? And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, speaking of outreach and how it applies to teaching the Word, 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. I was talking to a young pastor, Timothy. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in the Word. You know, it always troubles me when I hear, and I just heard on the radio this morning, I heard a pastor teaching through the Christmas Advent. They were teaching on the Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, and the various stages of the Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present. It's like, what are you doing? Preach the Word. Teach the Bible. And so be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort. You know, that, by the way, don't get mad at me if you come to church and you get convicted. Because my job is to teach the Word. And some people need to be convinced because they're not sure of things. Some people need to be rebuked. Hello? Anybody? I'm on point, okay? You know, sometimes people need to be comforted. I know that. But sometimes people need to be spanked. Now, I'm not going to spank you. I'm not going to. I'll get arrested. Okay? But the Lord knows how to spank. And sometimes the Lord just says, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Open your Bible. Look at the, what are you doing? Which direction are you going? Turn around. And sometimes he'll say that as I were just simply going through the word together. So listen, some of you need a hug. You need comfort. You need gentleness. Some of you need a kick. The Lord knows, and I'm just going to teach the word. He takes care of the rest, okay? So, goes on to say, when you convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So, folks, people minimize the teaching of the scriptures. They want entertainment or they want good preaching. Well, I think you can preach and teach in combination, but the best way I could do my job as a pastor is to teach you the truth of God's word to the point that you're living it, that you embrace it and live it. No, not just know it, because that's another problem I see among a lot of churches who are very theologically minded. I've known churches that they are proud of their theology. But if you get to know the people, get away from me. There's no love there. It's all theology. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So God help us to have the right combination of love and truth. Love and truth, okay? In spirit and truth, we're doing this. So I'm not getting through this verse yet. Huh? Okay, let's keep going. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Who's they? I hope it's none of you. Actually, I think it's none of you, because you wouldn't be coming here if this is you. God bless you. I think the kind of bait you use is the kind of fish you catch. And if I used candy and free giveaways and dancing girls and all the weird things people do, I'd get the wrong kind of audience. But I want people to come to church because they come to church and they get Jesus. And they get the word of God. And so I'm just going to stay on course here. And then I know if I just stay doing what God wants me to do, we'll get all the right people coming to Calvary Chapel Eagle, okay? Not the people who just want their ears itched. It says they turn away from the truth, and they turn aside to fables. Ebenezer Scrooge, you know? But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Why did I pick this text? Because even Paul's advice to a young man who was a pastor, he tells him to do the work of an evangelist. Did he say, you are an evangelist? I think you and I can do the work of an evangelist without being an evangelist. Matter of fact, we make it easy for you. You go out to our table in the lobby. I've got free tracts. Take a stack. Take them home. I always keep in my back pocket, except my dress pants and my jeans. I got a stack of $1 million bills. Wherever I go, thanks a million, or hey, you look a million, like a worth a million. I'm just finding excuses to give away tracts everywhere I go. And you could do that. You just have fun with it, okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, here's your next fill-in. The gospel doesn't change. God's plan of salvation remains constant. It's always by grace, through faith, and always through Christ alone. Don't you think, you know, you'll never hear us teaching we're the true church, and you can't get saved unless you go to Calvary Chapel. I think that's, by the way, one of the signs of a cult. They'll tell you they're the only true church, and you're not truly a Christian unless you go to their church. I think that's a sign of red flag run. But when you hear only through Christ, Christ alone, then you're on the right course. Now, just before, since we're talking about outreach, I want to make sure you understand what the gospel is. So let's look at a few popular verses that very well clarify the gospel. The first one's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first four verses, Paul reminds the church at Corinth what the gospel is. And as a matter of fact, many church theologians and historians believe that he's taking almost like a baptismal formula of what they used to say to people in the church. It was a memorized rite that they realized this is how you know what the gospel is. So let me look at it in context. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, Paul writing to the Corinthians, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved. Now this is important. You should be listening. Wait a minute. You're going to tell me something that this makes the difference whether I'm saved or not and what I should be standing in? Yes, so keep listening. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, which, by the way, I usually skip right through this one, but I'm going to tell you. If somebody tells you, I used to be a Christian, or I used to believe in Christ, and I let go of that, you can't promise them, oh, you said the prayer once, you're fine. Well, it says here, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe it in vain. Do you know that you can believe in vain? I know people who used to believe. Do you know people who used to believe? I'm troubled for them. I don't say, well, they used to go to church, they're okay. No, read the scriptures. Okay, keep moving now. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received. And now here's that formula, that saying that they believe Paul actually was repeating something that was popular in the church at that time. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Simple. I love it. It's not that complicated. Matter of fact, in your small groups, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is, if you were in front of a dying man or woman, and you know they're dying, and they're listening to you, but they got like 2 or 3 minutes, I don't know, don't want to get too gross, maybe they're bleeding out, I don't know, have fun with that one. But and you've only got 2 or 3 minutes, but you could share the gospel, what would you say? You could say it in 2 minutes, you could say it in 1 minute. But the gospel by itself needs one more thing, response. You don't just hear the gospel and automatically you've sprinkled fairy dust on someone and now they're saved. The gospel requires a response, and that's why I've included one more in here. It's Mark 1:15, and this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Folks, I don't care how many times you hear the gospel, until you repent and believe the gospel, which is the biblical formula, don't consider yourself safe. Oh yeah, he grew up in church and he heard it all the time. So did the devil. You know, by the way, the devil, I haven't seen him here this morning, but he goes to church too. Usually he's the one whispering in your ear and distracting you and poking you and giving you the itches or whatever. He's good at, he likes to hang out at church on Sunday. But it's important that we hear the gospel and that we repent and believe the gospel. Okay? Now, your next fill-in, outreach. Outreach is having God's heart for the lost. Do you know God cares for the lost? I mean, some people have got this picture of an indifferent God who just, there's a song years ago, I forgot who even sang it, but they sing about how God is watching us. It wasn't a Christian song, it was a secular song. God is watching us from a distance. Remember that song? Don't even shout out the name. Don't sing any more of it. But it used to drive me crazy because that's the picture most people have. Oh yeah, he's watching us from a distance. That didn't comfort me at all. I want him up close. I want him right at my side. I want him inside of me. I want the Lord here with me. And so God's heart is this. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I know there's some theological debate over that. Some people will say that it doesn't mean he wants all people saved. But I tell you what, I believe exactly what it says. I believe God cares for the lost. And God's not willing, he doesn't want people to perish. He wants all. That's what it says, that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. And I think if that's the heart of God, that should be our heart. As a matter of fact, there's been people in my life, and I know there's been people in your life, that you're thinking they're going to hell, and I'm glad. You know, that you just go, that's where they belong, you know. But that's not God's heart. Boy, I tell you what, that's hard to swallow. There are people that you and I know that you think, man, they deserve the deepest, darkest, hottest spot in hell. And God says, but I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. God help us to have your heart, huh? Amen? And so if we have God's heart, it will change the way we treat people. One more, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the heart of God. Now, some of us think, well, I'm saved and I'm glad I'm making it. That's all I need. Well, I'm telling you something. God wants to use you to reach out to some people who nobody else could reach. Maybe somebody just came into your head as I said that. There are some people in your family, in your neighborhood, on your job, that are headed for hell. And there's nobody sharing the gospel with them. There's nobody reaching out to them. And you might be the only one who could be that one, that bridge between heaven and hell for them. That's God's heart. Please, please open your heart up and let God use you if that's what he wants to do. Don't be stubborn. You know, I think it was really appropriate what Darren shared this morning about announcements. I don't like public speaking, but here I am doing announcements. You know, there's times you might think, I'm not an evangelist. Well, then pick up a few tracts and hand them out. Do something. You could do something. You could be loving to somebody in Jesus' name. Okay, you're probably aware of one of my favorite Bible verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Matter of fact, it's been a while. I used to, you almost couldn't get through a Sunday without me preaching 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's do a little switch here. I'm going to read it from the Phillips translation. And so, Phillips translation, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God caused Christ, who himself knew nothing of sin, actually to be sin for our sakes, so that in Christ we might be made good with the goodness of God." Now, I love this, and thinking, how much time do I have? Because I could spend the rest of our time on this one, okay? Because raised as a Catholic, and we all have different backgrounds, I was kind of stuck on the good works thing, that you've got to earn God's love and salvation. You've got to be good enough. Matter of fact, a young man that I'm discipling is going to get a tattoo in Galatians. And I don't know if he's going to change the wording, but it says to the, something the effect of, if you could earn it, then why did he have to die? Way to go, Cliff. It really stands out to us when we are raised in more of a legalistic background. And let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians 5:21 basically says that Jesus took what he didn't deserve to save you. He bore your sins, and he was punished for your sins. Did he deserve that? No. Is that fair? Absolutely not. But those who would trust in him, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we who would trust in him might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what that means? He got what he didn't deserve so that we can get what we don't deserve. If you go to heaven, it's not because you were a good little boy or girl. Believe me, because God's got enough dirt on each one of us to send us directly to hell. Do not pass go. But if any of us get to heaven, which I'm trusting most of us are on our way there, it's going to be because Jesus took what we deserved upon himself, and he was punished for our sins, and that's not fair. So that as we believe in him, we trust in him as our Lord and Savior, he places upon us his righteousness. It's the divine swap. Remember, I've told you that. It's like, remember, let's make a deal. How many even remember, let's make a deal? Anyway, I think God says to us, come on up. We'll take your little bag of sin and we'll trade it for Christ's righteousness. And you go, really? You could have curtain number one. Opens it up and we get Christ's righteousness. And Christ took our sin and he was treated the way we deserve to be treated, so that I can take his righteousness and be treated the way Christ deserves to be treated. It's what I call the divine swap. Folks, I'm sorry. This time to talk about outreach, so you're going to get it, okay? Some of you guys go, how many times are you going to tell us that story? I never get tired of it. I hope you never get tired of it. It's the most wonderful news in the universe, okay? So, but let's look at it a little bit more context to show you your role in this, okay? And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll back up a little bit. Did I keep that in Phillips? I did. Okay, Phillips translation. All this is God's doing. For he has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he has made us agents of reconciliation. God was in Christ, personally reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and he's commissioned us. He has commissioned us with the message of reconciliation. We are now Christ's ambassadors, as though God were appealing directly to you through us. For Christ's sake, we beg you, make your peace with God. For God caused Christ, who himself knew nothing of sin, to actually be sin for our sakes, so that in Christ we might be made good with the goodness of God. Now, I understand this is the apostles saying God's commissioned us, but I think us is the church. The first responsibility comes upon me as your pastor, but the buck don't stop here. It keeps going. We all have this responsibility. So your next fill-in is this. We should all, I think you could spell that word, we should all be ambassadors for Christ, bringing the message of reconciliation to the world. Folks, and I'm not asking you to stand up in front of on the stage at a crusade. I'm not asking you to stop everyone at work and do a preaching thing. Some of you have, and I know some of your stories. But at least say, God, give me your heart. And if you care about the lost like God cares about the lost, your heart will ache to the point where there'll be times where you just can't help it. Excuse me, look, we've been working together for a while now, and I've been hearing what's been coming out of your mouth and your heart. And I'm going to just tell you, you don't have to go that direction. God's got a better plan for you. Matter of fact, God loves you so much, the soul of the world, that he gave his only begotten son. You could quote John 3:16. You all know that one, right? Somehow, if you've got the right heart, God will use you, okay? And let me make you a promise, by the way, as your pastor, that is you invite your friends to Calvary Chapel Eagle. They're going to get the gospel, okay? Yes, we go through the scriptures, we teach the Bible. But, you know, I'm an evangelist at heart. I'll sneak the gospel in there every chance I get, which you don't have to sneak it. It's all over the Bible, okay? And we're going through the book of Acts, so the gospel's everywhere. Now, why will they hear the gospel if you bring your friends? Because our priorities are upreach, inreach, outreach. And God helped me to stay the course, to always keep that our priorities, not to be sidetracked. And I think, by the way, that's why once a year at least, we'll stop and we'll review those three priorities, because I think that's God's heart and I think that's God's will for us, okay? Now, because of the vision of outreach, we spend our money accordingly. Now, I don't normally talk about money from the pulpit, and we're not going to take an offering. Relax. But what I do want to do is tell you a little bit about how we spend our money. Because some of you, in good faith, you give your tithes and offerings in that little red box in the back. You just go, God, this is for you. And I want to tell you what we do with that money as far as outreach goes. You know, I'm not going to tell you about all the insurance and the bills of this place, but the outreach, because that's what we're talking about today, okay? And you may be surprised to find out that last year we gave over $40,000 towards outreach and missions, okay? And that was a blessing. Let me give you some examples, because our annual total for our monthly support missionaries came to almost $26,000. And let me give you some of the examples. Our highest amount was given to radio, because we really believe that there's people all over the Treasure Valley who are turning on the radio, and there's two different radio stations we're on. They're listed in your bulletin. You could check that out, and hopefully you've listened once in a while. But we consider radio as one of the outreaches to our area. I think it's a shame, it's a sin to pour money into other countries, and you're not doing what you can to reach out to your own local area. That's why we also go door-to-door, which, by the way, that's not going to be in here, because we don't spend a whole lot of money on door-to-door. We do a lot of manpower. We got a team that we go out and door-to-door. We haven't been doing it in this severe weather, because I think it's inconsiderate to knock on someone's door when it's 6 degrees out and expect them to stand there and talk to you with the door open, okay? So we're on hold right now with that one. Anyway, of that just shy of 26,000, radio is number one, and then we are strong pro-life. And so we've been supporting Stanton Healthcare since they started, a local pro-life ministry. We give monthly support to them, which if you've listened to the news, they've been in the news a lot lately. What they've been doing is every time there's a family planning clinic that goes up, they've got one in Boise and one in Meridian, they put a Stanton Healthcare right next door and put up their signs. You could pay money for an ultrasound over there at Family Planning, or you could come and we'll give you one for free and give you crisis pregnancy counseling. And they've done great works. I could go on and on about any one of these. So let me just move on. I just want you to know we are strongly pro-life. We give monthly support to them. We also believe in missions across the sea. The Bible says pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is to support orphans and widows. And so there's a children's center in India that we send monthly support to help the children. Many times in India, people have babies and drop them off at a church doorstep. And they expect that you never even know where it came from. A baby is dropped off. And so there's a children's center we're taking care of. Uh-oh, did I just hit a button? Be careful. Also, Mission Aviation Fellowship. They're in Napa, and they're Christian pilots who will volunteer to fly to deliver medical supplies or evangelistic supplies or deliver missionaries to their destinations. So we give monthly support to Mission Aviation Fellowship. Also, speaking about local ministry, is we give monthly support to Chrysalis Women's Transitional Housing, which is an extension of the Boise Rescue Mission, but it's helping women who are coming out of addictions and want to get their life right. And I've met many of these young gals, and God's doing a great work through that. Also, usually when we support something, it's because we personally know of them. I don't want to just send money somewhere. And so there is a ministry in Africa, AFMIN Ministry. They're training pastors in Africa. A friend I grew up with, who we were in ministry together years ago in California, he went on way beyond me and got his master's and got his doctorate in missiology missions. And so he and a team travel to Africa in the Congo area and train pastors how to pastor a church. And there's a great need for that in some of these countries where they don't even have a complete Bible, okay? We also give monthly to an orphanage in Mexico, which I know the director and his wife. I've known them for many years. Tomas and Maricela, and I've visited them, and every now and then when I make it to Southern California, get to go in that area in Ensenada, we'll visit them and check up on them. They have my heart. It's people I know I could trust. We don't want, you know, you hear all the time, my wife and I watch these programs on TV of these scams that you think you're giving money to something and it's lining some rich guy's pocket, paying for fuel for his jet. And so I'm careful with that. I've got to know these people. Or know of them very reputable, okay? Also, Natalie Bridges, she's in Romania. She's doing an outreach to the gypsy children and doing a great work. I knew her in Calvary Chapel Boise. Linda and I were a part of training her up and sending her out, and we've been supporting her ever since. There's two more, so hang in there. Dave and Mary Neely, who are doing ministry outreach all over Mexico. They'll set up a puppet team, and they'll play a soundtrack, and they're doing the puppets behind the screen, and kids are receiving the Lord. They're giving out Bibles to villages and towns that don't have them, so we support them monthly. And there's one more of the monthly outreaches, and some of you might remember Stuart and Stephanie Baker, who served here among us for, I don't know, a year, year and a half, and then he really felt the Lord was calling him to go out and pastor. He's now gone out with Village Missions. He's on a one-year apprenticeship, and we're sending a monthly support just to help him out until he ends up going out and planting his own church. So that's where your money's going with monthly support. But let me tell you a little bit about our one-time gifts. Let me see. Okay, we got time. I really love to. Everybody does it differently. I've worked with a pastor who loves to keep his checking account empty because he believes that, you know, if you got it, give it. And then they got nothing left. And as soon as it comes in, it goes out. I understand the philosophy behind that, but my philosophy is a little different. My philosophy is I always want to keep a pad of maybe anywhere from $6,000 to $15,000 in the bank for missions, for emergencies. And let me tell you why. You know, every now and then you hear about a hurricane or a flood or a crisis somewhere in the world, and you wish you could help. Well, our philosophy is, and the board agrees with me, we're going to keep a pad so that if we need to, we could say, let's send them $1,000. And so let me give you what we did last year in one-time gifts. Samaritan's Purse, most of you know of Franklin Graham's ministry. When the Ecuador earthquake took place, we immediately sent $1,000 because we know we could trust Samaritan's Purse, which, by the way, I never give money. We never give money to an organization just to help. We make sure that they're not just helping, but they also are sharing the gospel. I don't want to see people just, okay, well, we help feed them, or we help set up tents for housing in a crisis. That's good. but I will only send money through organizations that not only do the help, but they also share the gospel. That's a requirement before we're going to send money to somebody. Do they share the gospel? Are they telling people about Jesus? Or are they just saying, here, somebody gave us this money to give to you? No. This is in Jesus' name, and let me tell you about our Savior. So another thing, locally, we did a one-time thing. Remember, our junior hires did a fundraiser, and we were able to send $850 to the Boise Rescue Mission in the beginning of the school year to help buy the low-income kids' backpacks for school. And of course, anything that goes through the Boise Rescue Mission, they know it's all about Jesus, okay? Also, there's an organization that we really believe in. It's Child Evangelism Fellowship. And they do all summer long, and I think during winter they do stuff too. But usually in summer, they'll do backyards or parks. They'll do like vacation Bible schools out in the open and just share the gospel with kids. I've got to sit in on some of this stuff. And so this last year, we gave $1,000 towards the training of the youth because they use young kids, like maybe junior and senior high kids, to do the workshops to teach the younger kids. It's so cool. We've got some in our church family that are kids, but they're doing ministry. Some of the kids, I'm saying, I don't know, you'd be upset if I name you. You've rebuked me before for giving your names out, but some of these folks come out door to door with us, kids. They do child evangelism, and they're kids. I love to see that happen. So we put $1,000 towards the training. They go away for a week, and they get training for that. We also, Rich Wise, who's the director of Child Evangelism Fellowship, we put $800 towards helping him out. Okay, that was a one-time gift. A couple more one-time gifts we gave out last year is one of our high school kids who was going on a mission trip to Costa Rica. And he was raising funds, and I know a lot of you may have given, but the church decided, let's put $500 towards that. So I like to keep some money there, so when we hear about something, we go, we got it, let's give it. You know what I mean? Okay? That's just our philosophy. Two more things that are probably are the biggest, they are the biggest, is when the Louisiana flooding took place, we sent $5,000 to send teams to help with the Louisiana flooding, the repair and the sandbagging and sharing the gospel to the people who are affected by that flooding. Then that, I think not long after that, I'm trying to think which one came first, but there was Hurricane Matthew. And we gave $5,000 again to the Samaritan's Purse so that they can go to share the gospel and give relief to those who were affected by Hurricane Matthew. So I just think, you know, I don't usually talk about money from the pulpit. I don't usually give you all these facts and figures. But I think since we're talking outreach, I want you to know we put our money where our mouth is. We think outreach and evangelism is important. So we put money into it. Matter of fact, I tell you to pick up tracts in the hallway. We buy the tracts and don't sell them. We just take a stack, right? Because I believe that's part of the commission of the church, to pour money into reaching the lost world for Christ. And sometimes through crisis intervention is a good way. Now, one more category before we wrap things up is benevolence. It's funny. We live in Eagle, so it's not necessarily the homeless capital of the world, you know. I know that when I lived in the L.A. area, or even when I was on staff at Calvary Boise, we saw a lot more needy, hurting people. But whenever we find out, especially somebody in our body or somebody that our body knows that we want to try to help out because they're in dire need, we'll try to help them out, pay a bill, or one thing or another, we try to help. So last year, we gave about $3,100 to various benevolence needs. So that's kind of what's going on. When you put money in the box there, besides paying the bills, we're doing outreach with that money and helping others. And by the way, I think you should know that since we started Calvary Eagle, we've made a strict rule that 10% of everything that comes in goes into the bank. You thought we were going to say tithes, right? But actually, we pay like 11 or 12, was it? 12% is our tithe to the Lord, and that goes into missions, okay? 10% that comes in, we put into savings, never to be touched. And, you know, just in case, if the Lord shows us a building someday, I don't know about you, but I'm happy right now, okay? don't know about you, but I think we got a church. Look around, folks. This is church, okay? And every time a property or a building comes up and we go to look at it, due diligence, let's check it out. We crunch the numbers, and I'm thinking, we'd be paying 5 times as much as we're paying now in the school, and we'd have to step down in what we offer our body. One of the places we looked at seriously, the only place we could have Sunday school in was an old house in the back. And I think, I don't want our families bringing their kids to this old dark house with little rooms. It just seemed cramped, and I don't know what the roach condition is in there. But I know what we got here. Don't we have a great facility? Hasn't the Lord blessed us here? I'm grateful. But we are putting away money every time we get our tithes to come in. We put 10%, and we finally just broke the 300,000 mark this year. So, but you know what? That's not even a down payment to a piece of property or building that we would need. But we're just going to be diligent. I'm hoping, and pray with me on this, that the Lord would bless us. If and when he wants us to move into a building, he will make it clear, and it'll be obvious. I don't ever want to put the body of Christ over a barrel and go, folks, we need to take another offering because we got to pay the bills, and the roof is leaking. Praise the Lord. If the roof leaks, I tell the coach, next week I come in, the roof is fixed, you know? So, you know, I don't ever want to get us in a jam and put us over a barrel. I just want to be able to use the money for the Lord and keep on doing what we're doing until the Lord shows us otherwise, okay? So hopefully you're good with that too. But remember, what we covered last week was inReach. And if I do my job right in ministering to you and turning you all into ministers of the gospel, then outreach will happen as well. You'll be sharing the gospel with your neighbors at work, at play. You'll find opportunities. You know, some of you know that my wife and I, whenever we want to take a vacation, our vacation of choice is a cruise. And so Linda and I will get away. And we'd love to get away because it's just the two of us, and we just get away together and enjoy our time together. But something I can't help doing is I bring a stack of tracks with me. And I leave them at the tables. I give them to the waiters. I give them and before you know it, everybody's walking around with a $1 million bill. And what I can't help doing is I go to the purser's desk and I say, look, do you guys have any Sunday morning service? Oh, no, we don't, because we don't have anybody. We don't have a pastor on board. And I volunteer. We're trying to escape when we do go on a vacation. But I don't want to ever escape from God's work. I don't want to ever take a vacation from serving the Lord. And so if there's a Sunday morning we're going to be gone, I volunteer and I preach the gospel. People come from all different, believe me, all different backgrounds, and they hear the gospel. And you can always tell the ones that are saved because they're the ones glowing, going like this. And I share the gospel to see, we do something different at our church. Instead of taking an offering, we give out money. So before you leave, take $1 million, and everyone who comes gets $1 million. So we have fun with it. The only problem with that is after that, when I run into people on the ship, instead of just being me and Linda, it's, oh, hi, Pastor. You know, so things change. But anyway, you know, there's something to give in for that. Okay, what else was I going to say? We're going to wrap things up here. Just want to remind you, you're all in ministry. You all got to do your part. And the truth is that there are people in your life that I could never reach. There are people you work with, people you live next door to. I can't reach them, but you can. And if I do my job right, I'm training you how to reach them, okay? You can. And so I'm just going to ask you that keep that in mind as we review the priorities of our church. The outreach is you doing what you can to share the love of Christ with everyone that your life touches that I could never reach. Some of them, the only person who knows Christ in their life is you. So God help us to stay on track with that. All right, now I'm going to skip a couple of these verses, and I'm just going to go to the one everyone knows. It's John 3:16, because it shows the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him will be saved. And that's the heart of God. And that, since that's the heart of God and we're God's people, that should be our heart too. So just be praying about what he wants you to do in 2017 to fulfill his heart. If you forget, go back and review the three topics. I'm not going to repeat it all again, but I'm going to tell you something. There is a call on each of your lives. God has called each one of you. He's gifted each one of you differently. You each have a ministry. And each of you could do something that maybe I can't do, or maybe the person next to you could never do. There's people you could reach. There's things that you could do. It's funny, I looked at my notes, and I realized last year my vision for 2016 is I wanted to get a good men's ministry going. I wanted to do convalescent ministry, and I wanted more youth outreaches. And now, just near the end of this year, it's all happening. We now have a men's ministry springing forth, a healthy men's ministry. Our convalescent ministry, the Lord has brought the Nagels to us and helping us do convalescent ministry. Youth outreaches, all of a sudden, through a series of what looked like tragedies, actually, of losing some of our workers, it was almost like the Lord forcing others to step up to the front. And now we've got more workers. Once more, the Lord continues to do that. We've got high school game night, and we've got a high school Bible study, and we're putting together a youth band, and soon we will all be taking all those people to do outreach as well, because we're not going to just sit around, and it's not all about me, it's what can I do to reach out to others. So the Lord's done a great work last year. I look forward to what he's going to do this year, and most of all, I look forward to what he's going to do this year through you. It's not about me, folks. It's all about Jesus, but it's about Jesus working in all of our lives. Amen?